love for you to put on your calendar January 10th. January 10th, we have two people who are going to be having surgery. Jeff Boyajian is going to be having neck surgery, and Varush Kerkezian is going to be having surgery on his back to assist his leg. So let's please keep them in our prayers. And that just, I want to just remind you that that's going to be on January 10th. I've got great news for you. Many of you have been praying for Badvili Mugo, right? Just because he's not here doesn't mean he's forgotten. I know that. Badvili Mugo was recently hired. God answered our prayer for clarity for him. Starting January 13th, he begins as the assistant director of the Youth Leadership Initiative of Azusa Pacific University. So it's really exciting. If this is your first time hearing, please let him know that you know, and I urge you to keep praying for him. So now we have the clarity piece taken care of, and now life has just accelerated, who knows, 2 to 3, 5 times as fast. So they'll be moving to Southern California. I'm not sure the exact date. He may have to commute a little bit as he gets started. But please be in prayer for Badvili Mugo and Tamar and the kids as he gets started as the assistant director of the Youth Leadership Initiative of APU. A couple of invitations for you. First, last week I think I said as a representative or representing the U.S. government, I don't represent the United States government. Certainly not the Internal Revenue Service, just to make that clear. But if you would like your year-end giving to be credited to your 2019 tax return, you'll have to make sure your gift is postmarked no later than December 31st. Again, you can give online. You're welcome to give in any way that you'd like. We would love to have that. You know that, you've heard us saying, and I hope you know that starting January 12th, when the children leave after the children's message, they will not be going to Kids Quest. Where will they be going? Does anyone know? They will be going to Sunday school, because starting in 2020, January 12th, our Sunday school will be concurrent, it'll be simultaneous with our worship service. So that will start on January 12th, so I hope that you'll plan on encouraging your children and grandchildren to participate in that. If you have expressed an interest in helping out, whether it's now or sometime in the future, in assisting with the children's ministry, I'm so excited because Kim Haratunian is going to be hosting and leading a Sunday school teacher training and leader workshop, which will be here in our Christian Ed building on Saturday, January 4th. So next Saturday from 9:30 to noon. It won't take your whole day, but the morning, if you can come to that, you'll find yourself much better equipped to, again, not only teach Sunday school, if you desire to do that, but also to participate in any of the children's ministries that we have. So I hope that you'll take that opportunity. Last week, we announced that we were going to participate with probably, I don't know, maybe 75 other churches, Paul, in the 21 days of fasting and prayer throughout the valley. That means every day, starting Monday, January 6th, Armenian Christmas, we get to host here at our church at 7 p.m. Every night, a church will host a gathering of our brothers and sisters throughout the valley. Every night will be a different one. The churches and a little brochure about it are in the back. There's also a book that we want to provide for you that will instruct you on how do you include fasting as a part of your discipline of relating to God and loving God. So those are in the back. We'd love to have you join us, particularly on the 6th. But if you can look ahead for those 21 days, you'll see where maybe a church is close to you, maybe you have some friends that go to that church, and you can join with 100, 200, maybe more of our brothers and sisters praying for God to move in the valley. So I really hope that you'll plan on making that a part of your your experience starting January 6th. Are there any other invitations or announcements that you'd like to make? Yes, Ada. Congratulations. And in their honor, the Coffee Fellowship is hosted in honor of their, is it really your anniversary? 50th anniversary, congratulations, wow. As they say, Yeranitsezi, that is fantastic. That's a great example for us. Well, let's pray together. Lord, we love you, and we're so grateful for the privilege of gathering in the name of Jesus. We celebrate his birth. We get to celebrate it twice, but we've made your son's birth the center of how this year ends, of how every year ends, and for us, how every year begins. Remembering your son, remembering his birth, remembering your great gift that you would give your one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Father, what kind of love, the kind of love you have for us is incomprehensible. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would move in our gathering as we worship, that we would experience that love between each other, that we would get a glimpse of the love that you have for us in your son by the love that we share in this congregation, in this family. Lord, we confess our sins. We shouldn't be able to worship you. We shouldn't be able to enter your presence. We're unworthy. And yet because of your son, because of Jesus, we can come with boldness. He never sinned. He is our high priest, and he is also the sacrifice for our sin. So we ask, please forgive us. Lord, fill us with your spirit that we might not love to sin the way we do. Lord, cause us to be repulsed by temptation and sin the way you are. Lord, strengthen us by your spirit to not be drawn, to be able to resist. We pray, lead us not into temptation. We truly ask for your strength to cause us to resist. We confess that we're weak. Even when we're not sinning, we're shaking just because we're trying to resist. So please, Lord, be our strength. Cause us more and more to reflect you. Lord, I pray for the children's ministry of FAPC. We pray for the training that'll happen next week. We pray for the children who matter so much to you. Lord, you've given so many children into the ministry of this church. And we ask by your grace that you would strengthen us, that you would empower us and equip us to train our children to love you. Lord, we pray that the ministries of this church would strengthen the moms and dads and grandparents who take the responsibility to raise their children to love and follow you. Lord, we want to participate in that with them. We pray, Lord, for those whose bodies are troubling them right now, who need surgeries, who need medication, who need treatments, who need procedures. Lord, we ask that you would meet the needs of those of us whose bodies are getting weaker. We ask that you would give strength and comfort. You would give our physicians wisdom. And for Varujan and for Jeff on the 10th, we ask that those procedures would go very, very well, and they would have relief from the pain and the limitations they're experiencing. Father, thank you for this last year. Thank you for the way you've blessed us in relationships, in the families that you've united together. Thank you for the way you've blessed us financially. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us your word throughout this year. We pray that as we look to 2020, that the best would still be to come. Lord, you've led us in so many different ways over this last year. We ask that you would open our eyes, that we might follow you more fully as we enter the new year. And I ask now that as we present our offering, as we present our tithe, Lord, that you would fill us with faith. You would fill us with courage and the freedom to be able to give with our whole hearts. And we ask, Lord, that you would receive these gifts as an expression of worship. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to invite our ushers to receive our offering. Brandon and Joy, can we please have the, or Annie, sorry. Could we have the right now clip without the PowerPoint, without the video in it? Would you be able to access that? If you have not received the right now media card, I want to urge you to please take advantage of it. Right Now Media is a Christian streaming service, sort of like Netflix, and the church has purchased a subscription for the entire membership of the church, and even those you'd like to share it with. And so I want to urge you, please take advantage of this. If maybe we can even just get the text piece up. There we go. Let's one more. Keep going. There we go. If you'd like to, you can text right now, FAPCC. We haven't changed our church name. That's just the code they give us. 241411. You'll receive a link to an app that will allow you to stream more than 2,000 children's videos and actually more than 25,000 adult videos of teachings, Bible studies, conferences. We're also adjusting our channel to include Armenian worship services, songs, as well as conferences and sermons as well. So it'll be functioning as a bilingual channel. So really hope that you'll take advantage of that. Men, please write February 21 to 23 in your calendars. We are going back up to Heartland, and this year we're going to do something that I don't think we've ever done before. We are not going to have a Bodbilly speak to us. We are going to have a businessman, a man who actually I have known for 40 years. Can you imagine having a friend for more than 40 years? He was my college roommate. He squashed me in a scholarship competition my senior year of high school, and I did forgive him for that. But Ken Perez was my college roommate. We've been the closest friends for the last four decades. And Ken has been an executive in corporate America with a number of different companies. And while he's done that, he served as an elder in his Presbyterian church in the Bay Area. He has been a godly father and a godly husband. And in reflecting on what we face, I don't know that many of our men are going to become Bodbillies. Most of you are involved in business or in the working world. And we thought that this would be a great opportunity for you to hear from someone who has lived as a godly man, which I believe is the desire that most all of you have. So I really hope that you'll plan on having February 21 to 23 up at Heartland on your calendar. We'll continue to do the same things of worshiping. I do believe the firearms are coming up again. So that'll be fun. And I want to just urge you to please, if you've never come to the retreat, consider it. I think it's going to be I know it's going to be wonderful. Ken's already preparing. And our challenge is going to be to live as godly men, godly husbands, godly fathers, and godly friends. So that's our plan for that. Oh, and the last invitation. Next Sunday, we'll be celebrating Armenian Christmas here in church. But there's a whole group of people at the Armenian home who don't get to go to church. They don't get to celebrate Armenian Christmas. And so our youth group will be going, a number of our deacons will be going on January 5th at 1:45. I urge you to, again, plan for it so that we can be a blessing. We'll be serving Armenian coffee, choreg, some string cheese, and maybe even some those little cuties or whatever those are called, little tangerines and mandarins. But I hope that you'll plan on doing that. We take for granted the privilege of being able to worship like this. But I'll tell you, they absolutely love it when we come as a church family to bless them. Okay, I'm going to grab my Bible and we'll get started with the English sermon. Please turn to Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 to 17. Be reading that in just a moment. That's page 923. I think it's the last page of the Bible, so it should be easy to find. Revelation chapter 22. I'll be reading verses 12 to 17 in just a moment. It was about 20 years ago that I was invited to speak at the youth conference at Muskoka Woods. I was invited by our sister church in Toronto. And what's interesting is that what I remember most is not what I said. And honestly, I don't know that anybody remembers what I said at the Muskoka Woods Conference. But I remember something as if it happened this morning. And they had broken the campers up into different groups, and they were doing different obstacles and different challenges. And one of the obstacles that they did, they broke them up into different groups, and each group was given a puzzle. Each group was given a puzzle, and I don't think it was 300 pieces, but it wasn't a big puzzle, and their goal was to put the puzzle together as quickly as they could. But everybody was failing miserably. Just miserably. I mean, literally, no one was being able to get a couple pieces together. But they were just doing a rotten job. Literally every team failed. So it's actually quite an ingenious exercise. Are you ready? Do you know why it was so difficult? You don't want to try a guess? I'm sure someone knows it. They didn't give the wrong pieces. The pieces were together. But what did you say, Jonah? No, there was a box and there was a picture. The problem was they switched the lids. They switched the lids on the puzzle. Because everybody knows, if you're going to do a puzzle, who likes puzzles? I'm not a big fan of it. Okay, if you do a puzzle, there's one thing you're looking at. You're looking at what's the end result? What's the picture? What am I supposed to build? What am I supposed to make the pieces fit like? They had switched the, that's pretty nasty. They had switched the lids. One group, actually the group that was most successful, turned all their pieces upside down. They're Armenian, right? They're figured out. Okay, so they turned all the pieces upside down and just started putting them together with the openings and the notches and all that. And then they flipped it over and they said, wait a second. This, and then they looked over, it's like, that's that picture. See, I believe most of us are living our lives. We're trying to put our puzzle pieces together. And either we don't have a picture, or we've got the wrong one, and we're frustrated. Anybody experienced that in 2019? Trying to put the pieces of your life together and just feeling like, I got the wrong, I wish I had her, or something's not right. The pieces aren't fitting together. And it makes life miserable. See, what's the picture for your pieces? What is the picture that God has for you, not just individually, us as a church? What's God's goal? What's God's picture? What's the picture that he has for his people to cooperate in putting it together? And if you ever do these yearly planning things or goal-orienting exercises, they always say to begin with the end in mind. And so I want you to know, on the authority of God's word, God does not want you frustrated trying to figure out what his goal is. God is not switching the lids on any of us. He's actually trying to get us to bring our pieces together, not only, again, in our own lives, but in our lives together as a church and as his kingdom. But if we're going to understand God's picture, we need to grow in our understanding of his word. We really do need to grow, because this is where he's revealed it. God has revealed his goal for his people, for his kingdom, for his church, right here. You do not have to go to seminary. You do not have to read the Bible every month. I'd encourage you to do it every year. But it's not the volume. It's spending time with God, in God's word, saying, God, would you speak to me? I want to understand what it is you're trying to say. Because we want to begin with the end in mind. How is God going to end history? How's he going to do it? What's his plan? I told you that my dad, you remember how he began his journey to Christ, right? Remember where he started to read? See, he knew the beginning of it, and he knew there was a creator, and he was good with that. He had no problem believing that the world could not just happen, that it was the result of intelligent design creation. No problem with that. He didn't read much of the Bible, but he also knew that Jesus had to be a pretty key figure. I think he got it from the holidays, the fact that we would go to church on Christmas and Easter. So he got Jesus' birth as a big deal, Jesus' resurrection, cross, not so much, but Easter was the resurrection. And so when Paul, my brother, challenged Dad and said, are you even a Christian, Dad? You ought to find out what God says. Dad started at the end. He wanted to see how it ended. Do any of you look at the end of books before you? Guilty. You did. Okay, well, you can relate to what we're doing today. You want to see how it ends. You want to know if it's worth reading. You want to note, is it worth me walking with God throughout this life? I bet the answer is at the end, and it is at the end. So what happens at the end of the story? What happens at the end? Someone might say the rapture, or the millennium, or what? What else happens at the end? New heavens, new earth? Judgment, dead rising from the dead, Christ's return, like a fire. All these things happen at the end. They all happen at the end. So let's begin with the end in mind. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. The risen Lord Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is speaking. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this is how it's going to end. Jesus is returning soon. Jesus says, I am coming soon. And he starts it with, look. Look. When Jay got back from Turkey going to the conference, he said, Greg, you're never going to believe. I've learned what the Turkish word işte means. When we use the word, at least in my experience, we use the word işte, it's like, whatever, işte. İşte. Is that close? Is that how many of you use it? Well, who knows what the word really means? Jay, be quiet. Who knows what the literal translation of işte is? Look. It means look. Or if we were speaking King James English, we'd say, behold. That's işte. Jesus says, if we're going bilingual, işte, gukam, şud gukam. I am coming soon. Look, focus, pay attention. Start with the end in mind. I'm coming soon. See, his return is going to be the end of this story of planet Earth. See, we've celebrated Christmas. He was born. We look at his life. We read through the Gospels. We see there's no one ever on planet Earth who has ever had a greater impact than the carpenter of Nazareth, the one born in Bethlehem, the one crucified outside Jerusalem, the one risen from the dead. Jesus was born. Jesus has lived. He's taught. We have his word. He's given his spirit, and he's promised to return. See, his return is the end of the story. Are you looking at your life with that in mind? That he's coming? Did you catch why he's coming? Or what's accompanying him on his return? He's coming to reward. He is coming with rewards, with even more blessings that he's given us during this life. Is that how you plan your day? When you set your goals for 2020 and beyond, are you looking for, that's where I'm going? Many of you are investors. At least what I'm told, if you're a good investor, you're not looking for one quarter. You're not looking for 1 year. Usually you're looking long term for a final return. Okay, Jesus says he is coming soon. And the time frame, that's up to him. But are you investing your life for the end? Or are you, like me constantly, are you being distracted by everything that's around you? That little thing that's probably lit up a couple times during the last 5 minutes? Did you get a text, or was it an email? Or was it a notification? See, he has a reward in mind. And if you look at Matthew chapter 25, so you don't have to turn to it, but Matthew chapter 25 talks about Jesus' return and his judgments. The first one is a parable about virgins, right? They're waiting for his return, and they have oil in their lamps. But half of them don't have enough oil. Because they're acting like they're expecting him, but they've made no preparations. They're acting like the bridegroom's return is really important to them. They're hanging out with all the people that are looking forward to the bridegroom coming. They've even got the lamps, but they don't have enough oil. I just wonder, are you really expecting Jesus? Is that a part of your way of thinking? Now, this is very subjective. This is very personal. If you looked at those 10 virgins and as they sat down that evening to await the bridegroom, there's no way you could see what was in their hearts. None of us dare look into each other's hearts, but I'm asking you to ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Are you indeed looking forward to Jesus' return? Or are you sort of just living and maybe it'll come and maybe you'll have enough oil? Do you really expect Jesus to come in your lifetime? Or do you, let me push it out further. Do you really think there's going to be a day of rewards? Do you? See, I love doing funerals and memorial services because those are the days when I'm pushed to collect the information and help present a eulogy for how someone's lived their life. And I tell you, I love doing the funerals and memorials of people who really believed that there would be a day where Jesus gives rewards. Do you know how enjoyable that is for me as a pastor to describe someone's life that was lived with the end in mind? Actually, I misspoke when I said I love to do it. I don't really love to do all funerals. I really don't love to do all memorial services because unlike you right now, it's too late for some people to change. It's over. That was their life. And if they have not lived their life with the end in mind, it's a different story. It's a different story. And we always try to make it as nice as it can be. But are you genuinely expecting Jesus? He says, I'm coming soon. Now, in this next one, the next parable in Matthew 25 talks about a king who gives money, different amounts of money to different servants. And he tells them, go take what I'm giving you, invest it, work with it, multiply it. And then this is that great statement at the end. Certain of the servants hear the words, well done, what? Good and faithful servant. So I want to ask you, with what God has given you, looking to the end, are you serving him? Are you using the gifts that he's given you? Are you using the resources that he's given you? Are you using the time that he's given you? Are you using the relationships that he's given you to further his ends? Jesus describes himself, and I love Stephen's message to tell someone that Jesus loves me and God loves me and God loves you. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. When's the last time you told someone that? When's the last time you told someone how much you love Jesus? When's the last time you told someone that all of existence centers, it begins and it ends with Jesus? See, When the in the story, the king calls the servants back and says, what have you done with what I gave you? See, if we're not thinking of the end, we will not hear good and faithful servant. So I want to ask you, are you serving him? Are you serving him? Does your life truly belong to him? Or do you loan him an hour and a half on Sunday mornings? He's coming back. He's coming to reward. The last parable is the one that we're most familiar with. And that's the one where the sheep and the goats line up on each side. And Jesus says, I never knew you. And the people say, wait, whoa. When were you hungry? When were you in prison? When were you thirsty? And Jesus says, when you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. And those on his right, the sheep, it's like, Lord, when did we do these things to you? When did we love you? When did we see you in need and meet the need? And he said, every time you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. So, do you love him? Are you showing your love to Jesus by seeking to meet the needs, first and foremost, of your brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need? But those in need, are you doing that? I promise you, well, maybe not. I wouldn't be doing it if I wasn't looking at the end. Because again, I told you, I can get very easily distracted by all sorts of things. But you will expect him, you will serve him, and you will love him if you're looking at the end. If you know that that's the picture, that Jesus has rewards, and he's eager to share them. Are you seeking first his kingdom? Are you seeking the lost? Are you forgiving? Are you living out the gospel? Are you loving God, loving others? Are you making disciples? I want you to hear a song that I heard maybe, 35, maybe even 40 years ago, that I've never been able to get out of my head. And can we play that? It's called the Steeple Song. Okay, that's good. I think he's going to ask questions like that. I love the song, but the song haunts me. Because those are the things that matter to the one who has the final word. That's going to be the end. And his reward is with him. Now, I want you to know that these questions are said to his church, to his people. You might have noticed that by the time Jesus comes, he's judged Satan. He's judged those who have not trusted him. Verse 15 says, outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. See, these questions are coming to his people. And his rewards are for his people. Now, I love how verse 17 reads, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. Jesus is eager for us to come to him. He's inviting us, come. He's inviting us to make him central to our lives. He's inviting us to get off the throne and to allow him to take the throne. He sits on it in heaven. Why not on earth? He sits it in heaven. Why not in my life? Why not in your life? Make him central. When he says come, come, he's our target. He's the finish line. To receive his life, thirsty, come. He's not, this may sound hard to believe, but he's really not looking for what you're going to do for him. Yes, he does equip us. He gives us all that we need to serve him. But did you catch what this says? Come, those who are what? Those who are thirsty. Those who are hungry. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? He is not saying, come and serve me. Come and shine my shoes. Come and do what I can't do. He's saying, come, I want to fill you up. Come, I have so much for you. Come, come, seek to please him, to be pleasing to him. We've put him on the throne. We also put him in the target. Yes, sometimes my goal is to please myself. A little less often, it's to please my wife. Probably even less than that, it's to please my kids. And sorry, but even less than that is you all. But what if we put Jesus at the center? That my goal is to be pleasing to him, is to please him with my words, with my attitudes, with my actions. What if we do that? What if we hear him say, come, and we say, yalla, your tongue. Let's go. Let's do it. You know I like to run. The gun goes off, and you know what? No one stands still. No one just stands there. Everybody goes. Yesterday, I went for a run. Didn't really care how far it went. I just sort of went. We talked about this in the early service. On any given day, I might just go for a run. But on certain days, I race. And when there's a race, the gun goes off, and we go. And do you know what's at the end of every race? A finish line. There's a finish line. And the way I run, it's all determined by trying. For me, it's trying. Other people, they get there, no trying at all. I have to try to pace myself, to design the way I run, so I finish the race. so I finish and I'm not crawling at the end. Are you beginning, as we look into the new year, are you beginning with the end in mind, not just December 31st, 2020, but when Jesus wraps up human history and invites his children before him to share his life, his love, his rewards for all that we've done. I urge you, come. Come to him. Keep the end in mind. Keep his picture of a bride that is pure, a bride that is beautiful, a bride that reflects him. That's our call. That's his goal. Come. Amen. Let's just sing one more song, and then we'll close our... We'll sing In Christ Alone. Please stand.